What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 229. And as always, our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Oh, not much. You're looking a little better now. You got a little different setup. I know we're going to talk about that a little later, but...
Yeah, I like this. It's a nice little thing.
Kind of new thing.
Yeah, and it's tracking my eyes, so my face is always in focus. It's fancy new stuff. It's a fancy... And it's, you know, when you get new tech, you get excited. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like... I review a lot of motherboards and stuff, and I get really excited about those. But like, when it comes to camera stuff, I just get super excited. So we'll talk about it at the end of the podcast. Yeah, obviously,
for sure.
This podcast, we talk about our reviews and, you know, some of the biggest tech news going on this week, and we have a lot of stuff to talk about. But before we get to that, any happenings going on around your neck of the woods or
no? You know, made it through 4th of July weekend.
There you go.
Not any major mishaps, you know, a couple of close calls, but nothing too bad.
Oh, yeah. I totally forgot that it was 4th of July. Like, we had a little cookout.
The weather was really nice. Like, it cooled off quite a bit for the weekend, which was nice. I mean, I say cooled off. I think it still reached 90 or something, but it's starting to warm up again. It's supposed to be like above 100 every day next week. So I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's been super, super hot here. But again, I don't like to complain about that because when it's cold, we're going to be like, it's so cold, right? I don't want to do anything. Yeah. So, one thing before we even get started, actually two things. First thing is that I have RTX voice turned off because it was acting wonky and we didn't want to just try to keep on fixing it. We want the podcast to go live. So if you hear the AC, which is on behind me, or if you hear a dog barking, I'm sorry. So that. Secondly, of course, this is our live stream and everybody who's in here with us. If you want to follow along in the show or in the description of this video, we have a link to our show notes. So you can follow along and kind of click through as you'll see, you know, we click through to all these different articles and things like that. So you can check it out yourself. So those are the two things. Yeah. But let's jump into our reviews this week. And we have... three pretty awesome products. The first one I was actually incredibly surprised about just for the fact that for me, I haven't really thought about a sound card forever.
Like, okay. Yeah.
I'm not an audiophile. Usually either onboard motherboard audio, which has gotten better.
It's gotten so much better in the last few years we just don't think about it anymore, honestly.
Yeah, so that's been good enough. Or like a USB headset has always been good enough. 7.1 virtual has been good enough.
Yeah.
But Creative reached out and they asked me to check out their Sound Blaster X3, which is an external sound card. But it's a USB DAC as well, and an amp, and it can power 600 ohm headsets, which is really nice. If you get a certain, you know, you need a headset that needs that, it can support that as well. It has a bunch of stuff, but the reason I was so impressed with this is that this can be used with a PC, with a laptop, with a PS4 and a Nintendo Switch, or you could just connect, like if it has USB power, you can actually use it directly as well with any audio device, which is really cool. So this is a really cool device. The one thing that I liked about it, it's nice and small, so it can fit on your desk. It has this big dial, which I actually didn't find myself using all that much. You have a bunch of different buttons here that you can, you know, mute things, you can change modes, but again, I mainly use the software. So basically this hooks up to your computer via USB. So you have a type C in the back that has a type, they give you a type C to type A. You connect it to your computer, it shows up as an audio device. Now with this, you can hook up headphones, which are actually in the front. So you have a headphone and mic. And in the back, you have optical out, which you could connect to a receiver. And then your receiver, of course, is hooked up to a full, you know, you could do a 7.1 system, or you can support out the back you can also support a full surround sound system as well.
So do they, on the front, I noticed it's a headphone and a mic jack. Do they give you like an adapter to go from like a headset that's only using a single?
So they do not.
Okay.
They do not. That was one of the downsides of this is if you do have a headset that is like a, meaning like a mobile headset, that just the single connection, it will only detect it as a headset, you know, or it will only detect it as a mic if you plug it into the mic side.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so I like I said, it's super easy to set up. You basically just plug it in. It comes up as an audio device, not only for your inputs, but your outputs as well. And it's a cool little device. As you can see, it lights up, you know, and that circle will change colors depending on what you're actually controlling with this dial, which is really nice. And the thing that I was really surprised is, one, they have all these built-in profiles. So here's the Sound Blaster command. If you've had a Creative sound card for the past few years, you're kind of familiar with this. So they have a ton of different profiles for games, for certain types of games. Obviously, you see I have like the Apex Legends one selected because that's what I was using. But they have like one for movies. And it actually really changes the sound based on what you're doing. I really liked, you know, playing Apex with the Apex Legends profile because it made it easier for me to hear people. It sounded so much better than like, say like these, you know, that are just regular, you know, regular headset. It was a really good experience going through the different profiles and seeing how they were different and seeing how they really were optimized for, you know, some of the most popular games out there. So that's one thing you can do with this cool little device. The second thing is Super X5. And we actually got to demo this when we were at CES. Basically, what it does is it basically makes any headset sound like you're in a big soundstage or a studio. So it sounds like you have speakers all around you and not like in a weird 7.1 virtual thing that you get with a lot of headsets. Like it sounds like the speakers are like 10 feet from you. It's a really cool experience for gaming. It's not great. I
would feel like it's maybe a pretty big shift, like almost it
basically your performance. So I wouldn't use it for gaming, but for listening to certain types of music as well as movies, I think it's really cool and different. And a lot of times, like I, you know, after wearing this headset for hours, like you kind of feel like you're kind of just like stuck, like you're, you know, you kind of feel confined in, where it's when you enable Super X5, you don't feel like, you just feel like you're in a room without headphones on, which is pretty
cool. I remember when we saw that demo at CES, and that's kind of what they were talking about, like with normal headphones and even like 7.1 surround ones, it still sounds like the sound is inside of your head almost. But with Super X5, what we found was that it feels like you're just in a room with ambient sounds, and so it kind of opens up, maybe not so, I don't want to say claustrophobic, but you know, just opens up that headspace, I guess.
Yeah, and the cool thing is that obviously like they mapped our heads when we were at CES. Right. So like I had a profile already, but they have a simple mobile app that allows you to take picture of your head and do all that kind of stuff. It's pretty easy to set up. And you can kind of play with it. And this is one of the only sound cards that they offer, like an actual sound card that they offer that has Super X5. So something to think about if you wanted to play with that. There's an equalizer in here. It's a 10 band equalizer that you can mess around with as well. Under playback, you can obviously set if you're using speakers or headphones. And then in each one of those, like for the speakers, you can set the configuration that you have, the type of speaker, whether they're desktop speaker, bookshelf speaker, tower speakers, like you can go into all that. So the sound that's being outputted is designed for whatever you're using. Again, with just something like that's on your motherboard or whatever, you're really not going to get this type of customization. And the same thing with your headphones. You select the configuration that you want. And again, your headphones don't need to support, like I have stereo selected, but you can select virtual 7.1 and it will turn your headphones into virtual, like it will give you that virtual 7.1, if that makes sense. Yeah, cool. Which is really cool. So I actually turned that on when playing games, and it is a difference. And then you select your headphone gain. So if you have a headphone that needs to support a certain type of gain, it does support up to 600 ohms, which is pretty good for an external sound card. So you have that as well. Under recording, you can set all that stuff up and your recording devices, your audio quality that you'll be recording at. Scout mode. Now, for me, scout mode is basically designed so you can hear people from farther away. In my experience, which I tested with Apex Legends, it basically just turned the sound up. It didn't give me a competitive advantage. At least I didn't think so. All right. It could differ from game to game, but for me, it just felt like it just turned things up. Encoder, you can fully encode all of your audio into Dolby Digital Live Surround Sound. You have to use it with the optical out, but you can do that if you want. The mixer, I didn't go through the mixer, surprisingly. Or did I? No, I have the two of the same pictures. But the mixer is kind of like the same thing. You can set your all your defaults for all of the outputs and everything within that, which is pretty cool too. So I really like this for the fact that, again, one thing that a lot of people don't realize that is a problem with internal sound cards is that you do get interference. So if you have it sitting below a graphics card, you actually will get some interference, which is not obviously the best thing. Second thing, like, do I want to open my system and install a sound card when I can have the same thing in an external device and an external device that uses one cable to connect to the USB cable powers it. So I can take this with me, which means it's really powerful if I wanted to do, some type of something on my laptop, or I need to go to an event and I need the better sound that this offers, I can do that. And not only sound playback, but recording as well. You get great recording with this, which is really great too. So I just think it's just this great all-in-one device that is only $120 for Super XFi, which is only in a handful of devices from them. And all of the other stuff that you get with this, I just think it's an excellent device. It's sitting right in front of me. I don't know if you guys can tell by the video. I keep on looking down at it. Mm-hmm. But still sitting here, I hadn't thought about sound cards for a long time, but I would highly recommend this one just for the fact that it's so versatile. You can do a lot with it. It does improve the sound. It has Super XFi, which is something that's really fun to play with. And it's not just for gaming. It's not just for watching media or listening to music. It's not just for creating media as far as recording. It kind of covers everything, and it's only $120. And I think it's a great investment and something that would take you forward too. This is, has all of pretty much all of their high end tech in it. It's awesome. So like I said, I gave it a 9 out of 10. The reasons that I only gave it a 9, not a 10, Super XFi, you have to use another app to get it set up. Yep. It is a process. Also, to download your Super XFi profile, you need to create an account. Some people aren't fans of creating accounts. So it's a 9 out of 10, probably more like a 9.5 if you really ask me. But I would highly recommend it. If you're looking for a sound card, I would not recommend an internal one. This is what I would recommend because it's so easy. It looks cool on your desk as well, so it's definitely a plus. So definitely check out that review. Again, I was just very, very impressed with it. It was just that good for me. So yeah, and then you took a look at, let's see if we can add your thing in here. You took a look at Corsair's Scimitar RGB Elite, which is a follow-up to their, was it Scimitar
Pro? Pro RGB, I believe.
Yeah, which I actually reviewed way back in the day.
Yeah, the Pro RGB, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, so you had the previous version. Okay. So yeah. It's very similar to the previous edition. What we're actually getting is a little more longevity out of the Omron switches under the mouse buttons. It moved up to 50 million. I believe the first iteration was 20. And then we're also getting a 18,000 DPI sensor as opposed to 16,000. So just a couple increases there in performance of the sensor and your options that you have there, and a little more longevity, hopefully, on those mouse button clicks as well. It's also just a little bit lighter. I'm not sure what that's due to, but just a little bit lighter mouse. So obviously the main feature of this mouse is that it has the thumb pad there, the panel with, let me find that there, with 12 customizable buttons under your thumb. So, you know, at first I was like, man, this is going to take a little bit to get used to, right? I'm used to having a forward and a back button, maybe like a sniper button, a third button there, but 12 of them. Thankfully, like column 1 through 3 is smooth. So is 7, 8, and 9. Whereas 4, 5, 6, 10, 11, and 12 have a bit of a textured pattern. And 5 even has like that little tab like you find on your keyboard on under the F and J keys, right? So you kind of know where your home row is almost. So 5 is really easy to find. So once you kind of get the feel of it, it is actually pretty easy to kind of get used to. It does take a little bit of time. I kind of noted this in my usage area. I've started playing WoW Classic again, and I was really excited to use this with it. Oh, don't shake your head. Come on, Bob. You know you want back in.
If I had time.
No, I get it. Yeah. So I definitely had some misclicks, right, when I first started using it. Just there's no way you're not going to, because it's a high button density in a pretty small area when you think about it. But the nice thing is it will fit multiple hand sizes. So right here I've got it, the panel shoved all the way to the front. And then here I've got it towards the back, and you can adjust in between there. It's not notches or anything. So you can dial it in exactly where you want there. And on the bottom of the mouse, they've got a little hole here with an Allen head. And thankfully they include a little wrench, and you can just loosen and tighten that as you need and get it right where you want it. So it's kind of customizable in size. Standard USB connection here, multiple lighting zones. It's got 4 RGB zones. You've got one under the palm. You have the light up mouse wheel. You have a little section at the front of the mouse right here that glows. Obviously the buttons glow, and then you have a little light bar in front of the buttons that is used as a DPI indicator. So it actually lights up in a different color scheme as the others. The build quality's just like you would expect from Corsair, right? It's a nice, solid, high-quality mouse. They're using the soft-touch plastic on it, so it's got a little bit of a grip to the plastic as opposed to some of their other mice that are more of a harder, textured feel. This uses soft-touch, and then they're just kind of the patterned rubber that they've been using wherever they put rubber on most of their most current mice. So you get a good grip there. It's pretty comfortable. It's a little large for my hand. I prefer a smaller mouse, but it's definitely comfortable, right? I'm not dinging the mouse for the size. It's not overly huge or comically large or anything like that. It's just little large in my hand. Obviously it works with IQ. So you have all the actions you can set here. I've kind of set macros for every single button to use in WoW. So I can configure those for whatever spells and abilities.
In your experience, how is IQ with doing macros? Pretty easy to set up.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, really you just, you know, hit the plus to add a new macro. Macro is the default setting. You can drop this down and set it to, if you don't want to record a macro, you could have it replace like a keystroke or an individual key. You can do all sorts of functions with these. I just used it in macros for my testing here. But then you just hit the record button, and then whatever you do until you hit stop is in there. I turned the delays off because I don't want any delays between my key presses. But yeah, super easy to set up those macros. Obviously you've got the lighting effects. You can have it synchronized with the rest of your Corsair peripherals. Obviously I've got multiple up top there, so you could have them all synchronized if you'd like. You know, setting your DPI, multiple profiles for that. And you know, you can do some nice surface calibration. So if you change from one mouse pad type to another, you can just dial it in there to make sure it's accurate. So overall, like, I was pretty happy with the mouse. There's really nothing I can complain about. It's got a ton of range on that sensor, obviously, 100 to 18,000 DPI. You can set it in 1 DPI increments. A lot of times you'll find that most mice are like 100 DPI increments. So this you can adjust per, you know, at one. So you can fine tune the resolution of this sensor here. Super easy to configure in IQ. I mean, I don't really have any problems with IQ. I kind of like the application, so I'm pretty comfortable in there and I'm happy setting it up there. Again, just a little bit of a learning curve with those buttons under your thumb and finding where they're at. But really, once you realize that that five key right in the middle has that tab, it's super easy to, you know, find out exactly where you are. So no real complaints about it. I think my only complaint was that it had, yeah, it had some small pads. It's a, the base of the mouse is pretty big, and it only had four pads spaced out along it. Let me find that image here real quick. They were just a little bit smaller than I would expect. I would have, you know, at the back, I would have liked to see maybe a full pad all the way across the
width of the mouse. Yeah, you would think that there would be a bigger one back there.
I mean, it's then again, it's a sturdy mouse, so it's not. It's probably not going to flex at all and like drag in the middle. I would have just liked to see it a little.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think no, this one doesn't because it has all the holes. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, and price wise. Right now, it's selling for right around $70 on Amazon, so you can pick that up pretty easy.
Pretty good deal for all the buttons that you get.
Yeah, tons of buttons. You know, you've got your DPI and your profile button on the top, right behind the mouse wheel. You can configure those to do something else as well. So you've got plenty of customization with this mouse. So, yeah, no, it's great. No problems with it. 9 out of 10 and a recommended award because, I mean, if you're looking for a mouse for MOBAs or MMOs and want that flexibility, this one's definitely one to check out, especially because you can adjust that placement of those 12 buttons.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, if I played MMOs, that's like a mouse that I would want because you just...
Oh, yeah.
I guess you can. Like, you can reset your whole function row, right, to macros.
Sure, sure.
But just... Yeah. And even like I even in Apex, so we play like this. I use my side buttons on my mouse for different things. Like you just need more buttons when you play an MMO. So, yeah, guys, definitely check out that. Jamie said, "Are you going to do keyboard?" I don't know what that means, but yeah. Our third and last review, and this one's an interesting one. We have some memory from HP. Now, I would like to clarify, and somebody did clarify this. This is not made by HP. Okay. It is Multipoint Solutions makes this, and Multipoint Solutions is the company that's made the past like three kind of more enthusiast-based HP products that we've seen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because when I was looking at them, I was like, they look like either an older Mushkin or G-Skill like heat spreader design, right?
You know, the sad thing is that I could say they would be Mushkin, but Mushkin still hasn't, well, maybe they have recently, but they still use those stupid green PCBs on their memory, at least last I saw.
Yep.
So yeah, we have black PCB. But anyways, so Multipoint Solutions makes these, but they're being sold as HP, which is fine with me, which I think HP should do more. And they're a big company. Obviously their main business is not gaming, but I think for how big gaming is, and we've seen it with obviously like Dell Alienware and some of the bigger companies, even Samsung has like gaming and enthusiasts. I mean, look at their SSDs. Like, you know, I think that HP could take advantage of more enthusiast products, right?
Sure.
So we have this memory, and I was like, this is going to be crap. But in all reality, it's not. First off, it looks good. Like,
yeah, I think it looks fine.
I mean, this is not RGB memory, but like the heat spreaders look nice. As I said, they use a black PCB, not a green or a blue one that we've seen with older memory. The heat spreaders are thick. We have like this nice engraved HP logo, says V6 over here, you know, all that.
So are you familiar with like, I think it's the HP Elite logo?
No.
No?
I'm not.
Okay. So if you want to switch over to my screen real quick. Yeah, I had it up here for a second and then it's gone. So this is kind of the HP logo that's like their Elite brand, or what, you know, I've seen it on some of their laptops and everything that are higher end. I think that logo would look amazing on this as opposed to their more generic business type of logo that they put on there. But anyhow,
I still don't think it looks bad though. Like, it doesn't look like bad memory. It's made correctly for, you know, the heat spreaders, like they look good, they work. You know, it's not bad looking memory. So that's one, the first thing I was surprised about. Secondly, this is a 3200 megahertz kit. I was able to get it to 3600 megahertz just by bumping the voltage from 1.35 to 1.4.
Okay.
That's not bad.
No.
For what it is, for again, HP, like that's, we've had, you know, Corsair, Kingston, we've had memory that only gives us like, you know, an extra 200 megahertz. You know, this gives us 4, which isn't bad. It's probably middle ground as far as overclocking. Just for the timings on this is 16, 18, 18, 38, which again isn't the tightest timings for 3200 megahertz, but it's not bad. Now, one downfall of this memory is that, look at that, that's what it looks like when it's installed. Why is this pointed out? And I was like, oh, maybe it's just weird. Like, this is the Asus ROG Maximus, or I don't know.
They've got the memory sticks flipped around or something.
Yeah, I was like, maybe it's just a weird Asus thing. But no, I installed other memory. So, like, you have this good-looking memory, at least in my opinion. Like, it looks good. But then you have this, like, it's just, like, a mess-up. You know what I mean? So that was one of the downsides of this memory. But as far as testing, like, if you look at it, yeah, it's, like, decently, and I'd say middle-ish of our testing. But it's not bad by any means. Like, it's not bad memory. At 16, 18, 18, 38, it's not going to beat some of this other memory that has tighter timings. But it's decent. And then the thing that I said in this review is that it's a good starting point if HP wants to go this route as far as, like, putting out, you know, enthusiast-based or gaming-based. Yeah. Products. They did it with an SSD that we took a look at a little while ago. Here's some memory. They're going to have a follow-up to this, which I'm pretty excited for. So I think it's a good start. And I think that if HP slowly gets into this enthusiast gamer space, they could do some, just because of how big they are. And, you know, now you have a more choice, and maybe they'll be making pre-builds with this stuff in it, who knows, you know what I mean? But I think that it's a good start. I gave it an 8 out of 10. Not the fastest memory, not the tightest timings, and that the heat spreader design is essentially backwards, because when you install it, you don't get to see this nice HP logo. So
yeah, I think fix that logo, maybe change it to that Elite logo, which I think is, you know, a lot more higher end, and I don't know. I think it looks better than their standard logo. But just think of, you know, they're such a big vendor, and they have all these connections with large, you know, memory, you know, SK Hynix and Micron and all that, you know, for all their other systems. So they have those channels already to get high performance gear. So they have the potential, I think, to make pretty good product. We'll see if
continue that. Yeah, how things roll out, you know, the rest of this year. So, but that is it for reviews this week. 3 really cool products. And we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a really awesome build that looks like it's out of a movie, I would say. And we've said that a decent amount, I feel. This is Project Infinite from Tech Red Mods. He's had some pretty good builds.
I love this background too. You know, not just the standard black background with some accent lighting. Like, this is outdoors.
Yeah.
On what could be like an airstrip or something, you know, and obviously this is kind of looks military themed and has the remove before flying tag on there. And
I was reading his build log, and this is the first time he's done paint like this, he said, like with the kind of distress.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah, he did a really great job. This is the Antec Torque case, which again, I think that Antec has a decent case here that they haven't marketed well at all, like most things Antec. But yeah, this build is just awesome. And the graphics card is mounted on the back, which is different, just to make room for all this other stuff, which is again pretty cool. You know, I think it's a really good build. All like the cabling here is all you know, like military colors. I don't think I've seen the green cabling like this before, which is really cool. And I don't know,
it looks military looked up.
And
now I believe this is a Halo themed build, right? Yeah,
is it?
Yeah, because
I'm pretty sure right there, UNSC,
UNSC,
yeah,
and some of that, you know, that angular design,
Yeah, I haven't got Halo Master Chief Collection, now that that reminds me.
And I didn't realize it, you know, until I got onto the, like, page 2 and page 3, how green it actually is. When it was outdoors, it kind of has a gray tint to it, almost, I thought. Yeah. But the green in this other lighting looks really good. And there's a image on page 3 towards the end that has, like, the three red fans just really accented and glowing there. Like, it's heated up, right? Like, it's got this engine going. It looks very cool.
When you first look at it, it's like, oh, those are fans on a radiator. But no, that's a graphics card.
That's,
one of the first times I've seen a graphics card on the back, which is pretty cool.
And it looks fast, right? Like, it looks like it's ready to just move, like, the case. And, I think this is an awesome build.
Yeah. And remember, you're not a fan of these, you said.
Well, no, this one's not bad because it's a case. It's already there, right? I'm not a huge fan of this style. I do like this one, so I don't know. Maybe they're growing.
These Bits Power fittings are awesome with the gold.
A dual color, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And he did get the cover of the Extreme PC cover, Interactive Magazine. So that's pretty awesome. So congrats to him. If you guys want to check this one out, of course, it's linked in the show notes. But if you want to check out all of our Case Mod Friday stuff, you just go up here, articles, Case Mod Friday, and there is a ton. So definitely go ahead and check all of those out. Mystic Edits says, what do you guys think about that's a TKL keyboard.
Extrify,
Yeah, K4.
Or TKL.
If you want to bring that up, we can talk about it. If you want to bring it up on your screen, I will bring up our contest, which I think we're right above a day, 26 hours left on our contest. So if you guys, everybody who's new here, if you haven't heard of our contest, we are giving away a kit, a 32 gigabyte kit, two 16 gig modules of Corsair's Dominator Platinum RGB. This stuff is awesome, and it is the white version here. This is the new white version that's going to look awesome. 26 hours left. Super easy to enter. We do it all through Gleam, so if you guys are familiar with that, tons of ways to enter. So definitely go ahead and check that out. Do you have the keyboard up on your...
I do.
So this is the
K4TKL. Extrify, yeah, K4TKL.
Yeah, I like it. It looks almost like the Glorious PC.
So I'll tell you what I don't like already. See this little shift key here?
Oh, you like the big shift.
I like the normal shift, you mean?
A big shift. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look at mine. It's a big shift. The one on the right side of mine is the small.
And the inner key, right, is that tall. I don't like that key design. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad keyboard. I just don't prefer that layout.
I would hope that it's...
I've also found what's going to improve our gameplay. It's this right here, this angle. See this?
Oof.
No, I'm just playing. But no, I think it looks interesting.
At least from the pictures, I don't know if it's true. It looks like it has a wired... the wire is a non-removable.
Yeah, I would say that's probably the case.
For TKL, I'm just not a fan of that. But
okay, you want it to be removable?
Yeah, for anything TKL and smaller, yes, it should be removable. But it doesn't look like a bad... I assume it mechanical key switches.
Yeah, they didn't say who like the switches were. They just said reds.
And a white and... a white and black design. So yeah, it looks nice. Like I said, maybe we can hit them up and get one into review and tell you guys what we really think once we get to check it out. So yeah. Cool. What else do we have? So we will start with news, and we had like no news last week, I would say. And we have a ton of news this week, starting with NVIDIA stuff. So first off, this picture came out, which almost looks like a Photoshop, to be honest.
Which one? The Strix image?
Yeah, so this, just the way it looks. But this picture right here, which I can't even make bigger. But anyways, this picture right here is a leaked image from what looks like, because you see this guy's face right here. It looks like it's from a presentation and somebody took this, of a 380 Ti Strix. It looks very much like a Strix card.
I thought it looked like an Aorus card. or a gigabyte card? Just those these angles here? I don't know. Maybe not.
Kind of.
Maybe I need to look at the 2080 Strix.
Yeah. But it, yeah. I mean, they're going to give these presentations. Obviously, I think we're going to get the card probably end of September, I'm guessing. But yeah, it's a solid leak. I think that these companies are giving these presentations now because they have at least their like cooling design probably done.
Sure.
Right. So you would have this, you know, and obviously even what's below it can be changed. Even this can be changed over time. I don't think it's a bad design. I like the way Strix cards looks. So I don't know.
I like the previous design. Yeah, I looked at the 2080 Ti design and it's definitely different. It's okay.
Yeah, it looks all right. But the second big story for NVIDIA RTX 3000 series is that they could be built on 8 nanometer instead of 7 nanometer, which is a pretty big deal, and it changes who would do it.
Samsung.
For the most part, NVIDIA products have been made by TSMC. Most people expected the RTX 3000 series to be based on TSMC's 7 nanometer process. This leak comes from a Twitter user. I'm not going to try to say his name. He's been very good on these leaks, but he says that the RTX 3000 series will be built on Samsung's 8LPP silicon fabrication node, which is an extension of their 10LPP or 10 nanometer node. It said at least 3 high-end cards would be built off this process. I mean, maybe TSMC is not ready. Maybe Samsung had a better price. We don't know how these things roll out, but it could make a performance difference. I mean, 7 nanometer, 8 nanometer is not,
not nothing, but
yeah, it's not nothing, but it is something. So yeah, we'll have to see how this plays out, but it would be a major win for Samsung. Because a lot of people have been going to TSMC. Maybe TSMC is just overloaded Apple is a client, which is a huge one for them, and a bunch of other companies as well. So we'll kind of see how this plays out, but be very interesting to see who actually gets that contract. And then thirdly, we have some information on the RTX 3070 and 3070 Ti. We only had information on the 3080 and 3080 Ti, so now we have 3070. These will both be based on the GA104. The non-Ti version will have 2,944 CUDA cores, whereas the Ti version would have 3,072 CUDA cores. The big difference between the non-Ti and the Ti is the non-Ti will have GDDR6, whereas the Ti will have GDDR6X, which is faster. And of course, the CUDA core difference obviously will be, it's nice to see that it's not just the DDR version, right? Or not just, the between the two. Again, all of these leaks, I'm just like, yeah, that's like kind of like what we expected. Like, it's not, I don't know. I guess I'm just not as excited about these.
Well, and we didn't have a 2070 Ti, right? We just had 2070 and 2070 Super. So it was interesting to see.
Yeah, and that could be like a
3070 Super. Ti, right?
Yeah.
Are we going away from Super and just going back to Ti? Was Super just a thing to, to throw at AMD?
I think all of these companies are confused because it's just like this week, like the 3000 XT processors came out and like they're a little refresh, but it's like again, old man said he bought 2 1080 Ti's but skipped 2080 Ti. Depending on price, I may skip 3080. I would say depending on price and performance, because 1080 Ti to 2080 Ti
wasn't
massive. Obviously you got RTX, but I don't know who's using it. these days. Yeah. Really? So yeah, it would be interesting. And yeah, you have to think about price. I mean, what are we going to go back down? Right? Because we've already seen it with Intel, like their $2,000 processors are now $1,000 when they come out. So we'll see if we get, you know, back to the normal. I don't think we will, but
And I feel like if they like dropped a significant amount, you'd have a pretty bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. Obviously, with the timeline that we had leaked 2 weeks ago, shows that these are in the design validation phase, and mass production of these will start in August. And as I said, we should have a, you know, at market date around the end of September, I'm guessing, for these. So we're gonna have a ton of leaks up until then. So definitely stay tuned, because we're giving you all of the details. One really interesting story, which I think a lot of people kind of glanced over, but I think it's incredibly interesting, is that Apple removed AMD GPU support in their drivers. And we know that Apple moved away from Intel, at least on, they're making their own CPU. Now they're making their own GPU. If you look at this, it says, you know, the Apple Silicon Mac will feature an Apple GPU. I think that Apple making their own GPU is awesome. It allows them to further optimize their platform, because they have their own CPU, which they control.
Yeah, the integration between the two.
Yeah, the integration between those two. They basically control everything that's inside of their product, which is great for optimization. That's why even PC friends have said, yeah, I got a MacBook and it's less powered, but I don't have issues, it doesn't slow down, like that's why. And I think that Apple making their own GPU would even increase that even more. Now I don't think we're gonna see gaming get huge on Macs because of this, just because the biggest thing is developers. It's these companies who are creating, you know, all the games that we love to play. Are they really going to push towards Mac? I don't think so. The gaming market isn't on a Mac, but it's good to see another, you know, we have Intel jumping in here. Apple's going to somewhat do this, you know what I mean?
It almost makes me think or wonder, did with the whole, you know, looking at iPhone and iPads and things like that, where they control that chip and the graphics on there, did they learn so much just in the years of having those two product lines? And you know, they feel comfortable enough that, hey, we've done it on the smaller scale, we can scale this up, and you know, everything we've learned we can put to use here. Maybe that's why they're doing it.
I think it's more control too. I read an article, I think it might have been by Tom's Hardware or Ars Technica, about the reason Apple moved away from Intel in the first place. And this is when Skylake initially came out, that they had so many issues with the chip, so many problems. And then obviously the security issues that have come up over the past couple years. This whole move away from Intel has been a thing for at least the past 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
They just probably needed the time to do all of this.
Sure.
But I'm not again. I mean, obviously for PC guys, that doesn't really matter to us, but I think it's cool. Having that much control, right? Having the ability to optimize to the silicon, you can do all that. I mean, it's pretty awesome. So definitely something to look forward to. It would be really interesting to see the comparison compared to an Intel-based Mac versus an all-Apple Mac and the differences and things like that. So I think it's just really interesting. I know a lot of you guys don't care, so we'll stop talking about it. But yeah, it's Intel, another loss for Intel on the customer side, because that's a big customer. They make 4% of their sales. So So yeah, that's a big deal. So back to the PC side of things, AMD's Ryzen 4000 series APUs should be releasing on July 21st. We've been waiting for these. So the APUs that had came out, the 3000 series, were not 7 nanometer. They're 12 nanometer.
Right.
Now we're going to have 7 nanometer parts. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say in the 4000 series. So, yeah.
Yeah, in the 4000 series. So this is, I think APUs are kind of, I was excited about them when like they first came out, but now
me too. I like when I was kind of getting back into like computers and stuff before like Ryzen was even out. Like I was looking at AMD APUs. I was like, oh, maybe I should just build one of these. They say they can game on them, you know, and all this. But I'm glad I didn't. But yeah, I feel like they've kind of fallen off, and I'm not excited about them. Not that we typically get excited about them anyways, because we want that full power of a CPU and a dedicated GPU, but. I don't know. It's good to talk about them.
This is going to have Vega 7, 7 nanometer Vega GPU in it. I don't know. I'm just not, 4-core 8 thread. It's just, I don't know. APUs, I guess they do serve a purpose.
They have their place, yeah.
Yeah, and we did review the one where I was actually able to play Apex Legends on it at 1080p. Which is pretty awesome. So, yeah, they definitely have their place. And I think for a lot of people building, but again, when AMD released, 3300X, and then that with a B550 and a cheaper graphics card. I mean, that's GPU. I mean, it's just, they kind of shot themselves in the foot on that one. So definitely something to look forward to if you're into the APU scene. And then Intel today announced Thunderbolt 4, which I don't feel that Thunderbolt 3 has gained a ton of traction.
But, right, to be ready for 4. But, I mean, I guess you have to keep moving, right?
Yeah, and 4 doesn't necessarily change. There's no speed increase. The minimum requirements are lower. In lower power devices can use this now. They gave us this graph that tells the differences. You know what I mean? They said they're going to, come up with new docks and all this stuff. But I mean, at all the motherboards I reviewed since Thunderbolt 3 has been a thing, I think one, which is a super high-end board, had Thunderbolt 3. Now, they all have the header, but you have to buy the card.
Okay.
And I think two laptops that I've had have had Thunderbolt 3.
Yeah, and I've seen them on quite a few of the laptops, right? So we've bought quite a few recently, and quite a few of the models have had it. So that's just what I associate Thunderbolt with anyways, right? I just associate it with a mobile platform as opposed to seeing it on a desktop.
Yeah, I wish Thunderbolt would be like, instead of USB, because it's so much faster up and down. Mm-hmm. And again, it uses Type-C, just like USB 3.2 Gen 2 does. But USB is just cheaper for the component makers. And I guess I wouldn't say it's easier, but it's cheaper. That's why it gets used. So, expect Thunderbolt 4 stuff and Thunderbolt 4 headers on your motherboards and Thunderbolt 4. You probably won't see it in a laptop till what's the next lake of Intel? This upcoming generation, Tiger Lake laptops, some of them should have Thunderbolt 4. So cool. If you're into that, that will be a thing. So we did talk about Ryzen 3000 XT parts. They did come out this week. Not a whole lot to talk about because they're just a slight bump. Like they're not, if you have a 3000 series part,
the only news is that they're available now, right? Like there's nothing exciting to talk about.
We already talked about the speeds. We talked about everything else. We did all that. But they did announce one thing. They have a new Equip to Win bundle. If you buy any Ryzen 3000 series, Ryzen 7 or higher, which includes the Ryzen 7 3700X, 3800X, 3800XT, 3900X, 3900XT, and 3950X, you'll get Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which is their new game, which they just showed the other day at their online event. It's basically Assassin's Creed Witcher 3.
Viking. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Viking. So yeah, it's free game. Can't complain. Sure. Select retailers, definitely check with your retailer. But I believe, like, you know, the big ones, Amazon, Newegg, Best Buy,
Micro Center, maybe.
Yeah. You know, all that stuff. If you see, you know, just make sure they do it. But if you're buying a new 3000 series chip, if it's 7 or higher, you'll be able to get a free game, which you can't complain about a free game. And Assassin's Creed, I do have to say, is, at least the ones that I've played, are like some of the best single player games.
I've never played one. Because they were always on like Xbox, you know, and I never had one for the longest
time.
That's
where I initially played it, was Xbox. But some of the best single player stuff, and that's kind of the thing that really made it stand out, because we don't get a whole lot of really good single player games these days.
Yeah.
So yeah. So yeah, like I said, if you're buying a Ryzen 3000, definitely get on that deal, because it's a free game. Cool. And Paul is in the house. He said, sorry he's so late. No worries, man. We are we're podcasting and streaming, and we'll be gaming here in a little bit. So and then Crysis, we talked about it last week on the podcast, that we were supposed to get this game footage, this stuff. The video was eventually taken down, was never released. It was just the video was taken down. And more or less because some of the screenshots were leaked, and it looks like Crysis Remastered will be getting delayed. And they put out this notice to their fans through their Twitter accounts, you know, just saying that they're going to delay it. And
did they think it was going to be good enough? And that their fans weren't gonna call them out on it? I don't get that.
Again, if like the picture we use is funny, like this is what we saw at the end of the Crytek engine thing, and then this crap is what was part of the leaked images, and it was this isn't what you showed me. So yeah, I just don't think, and again, I think they're delaying, I don't know how long they're delaying it, but for them to really do this, I think it would be delayed for well over a year, which I don't think is going to happen. And again, they're porting it to Nintendo Switch, and you're not going to get this.
You may not even get the one below that on the Switch. Yeah,
on the Switch. So I don't, and again, I think maybe the remaster was just to port it to the Switch. It wasn't really to be a PC thing, maybe. I don't know. That's just, you know. So, yeah, so if you're excited for Crysis Remastered, you're just going to have to wait just
a little some
bit.
More.
Yeah, wait just a little bit longer there. And then finally, what was a PS4 exclusive is now coming to PC. And we saw this.
This was a while ago, and everybody was throwing a fit. Like, PS4 game. Folks were throwing a fit.
We saw this on another game. I don't know which one it was.
It wasn't this?
No, or maybe. I don't know. I know we had talked about this because I remember watching the trailer.
I feel like it was this game.
Okay. Well, Horizon Zero Dawn, which was a PS4 exclusive, is finally coming to PC. It's available for pre-purchase, and it's be playable on August 7th. If you haven't seen, this game looks amazing. You kind of are this girl. I can't get out of this. Let me bring it back. you're that girl, and you fight these sort of like mechanized kind of beasts and stuff. It looked like all the PS4 screenshots looked amazing. It was a PS4 exclusive, but now it's not. And I think as PS4 gets to its end, EOL, you know, end of life. PS5 is going to be coming out. Maybe we'll see some other games kind of come over to PC. I did see a screenshot. I don't know if it was just a meme that somebody showed the like the graphics options menu from PC compared to PS4, and PS4 has like two things. PC has like the full list. So I think it'd be cool. It's definitely a game that was like, oh man, like I would really want to play that, but I don't have a PS4, obviously.
Yep, that looks cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty awesome. I think that I'd like to see more. You know, they have to do exclusives so people buy the, you know, the right device. But it's good to see it come to PC. So definitely check that out if you're interested in that. And I believe that wraps up our news for this week. We try to get the most important stuff out there. I don't think we missed anything this week, did we? I don't think there hasn't been any. Nothing big just yet. So coming up next week, we have three pretty cool products. I will be taking a look at, which I have right in front of me, is this guy. This is the Orico SV100. This is USB 3.2 Gen 2 portable solid-state drive.
Fast.
It's the one. Yes. So 1,000 megabytes a second or 1 gig a second transfer. Cool thing about this one is it's rugged. It has this kind of rubber outer shell with an aluminum inner shell, waterproof, dustproof. They say it's crush-proof as well. But the cool thing about it is that in the case has this little holder for your cable. The cable's not actually plugged in. It's just a holder. But it's so you can put this in your pocket and you'll never be without a cable. Because I always forget a Type-C cable a lot of times. So you have that. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then Paul will be taking a look at the, I don't know how to say it, this name, EKSA. How do you say that?
EXA.
It is their E900 Pro 7.1 virtual surround sound gaming headset. It's only a $40 headset.
Okay.
It's virtual, but Paul has told me so far that it is really good. He said he was really impressed by the sound at that price point. So it'd be cool to, you know, give that one a try and see what it's all about. And then finally, I'll be taking a look at a monitor, and it's probably not from somebody you thought it would be from. I'm taking a look at the GM34CW, which comes from Cooler Master. This is a 34-inch, 144 hertz UWQHD display, ultra wide, 1500R curve. It is pretty nice. I've been testing it.
Did we see this at CES?
Yes, it's one of the ones they had there, which they didn't have turned on. Remember, they didn't have them on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty good for what it is. I think a lot of these companies are getting into everything, and we kind of get blurred.
Yeah, I mean, they were getting into chairs, right? When we saw them, they had a big floor mat. I mean, I'm all for another monitor. I just know that I'm guessing it's probably pretty expensive. It's also a 34-inch monitor, so it's got to have a little bit of a price tag to it.
Oh, nice. Paul had sent me audio clips from the E900.
Cool.
So yeah, so we'll definitely have those in the review as well. So, but yeah, and I mean, it's a 34-inch, and again, like I have this Viotech, which is not a major company. But it has turned out to be a really good monitor. So I'm really excited for the Cooler Master one. And at least from what I've gathered, the stand on that one, you can almost turn it fully sideways. Not like landscape portrait, but like actually turn the whole
monitor. I'll swivel it.
Yeah, you can swivel it a lot farther than normal, which is different. So,
I mean, for me, that's not a selling point.
It's just...
How many people are doing that?
The guy in the picture did?
I do it at work all the time. I turn a monitor to show somebody all the time.
I just like that. This, I remember, and it's only happened in the past couple of years, is that a lot of these monitor companies, like you could move the monitor up and down and that was it.
Yeah.
You couldn't do much of anything else. But the past couple of years, it's gotten a lot better. So we'll have that stuff for you guys next week. And then we're here at the end. We'll talk about if we've done anything tech related or saw anything. Or...
Yeah. I forgot. I didn't put it in the notes, but this weekend I was helping a buddy put together a new system for his photo and video editing stuff that he does. So it was a nice Threadripper build with a 2950X, a X399 board, 128 gigs of RAM, which we're actually trying to figure out. I think the one of the memory channels is dead on that board because sticks 5 and 6 just don't show up in the BIOS. They're not recognized by Windows. Yet CPU Z shows them and has information about them, and they light up because they're, you know, Corsair RGB memory. So it's like with the controller or maybe on the board is just not.
Does Corsair memory detect them?
Yes, it shows up in IQ. You can adjust them and everything.
That is
weird. And I've got the kit right now. One of the 64 gig kits that was on the side that was not working in my system to just make sure that they were working. So I know the memory works fine. So. But 2080 Super in there, a couple NVMe drives.
Did you install the latest BIOS?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
It's like the first thing I do when I have a memory problem. Yep. Nice. I always like building a PC for a friend. It's always
And it looks great, right? Like taking time to route everything, right? I still got to clean up cabling on the backside, even though it's in the 680X from Corsair. You can't see the cabling on the back, but I was like to have it cleaned up a bit, right? Especially if it's not mine. But no, it's looking great.
Nice, nice. I, of course, got a new camera, which you guys can see here. Which
we talked about a little bit at the beginning, but
which is the Sony ZV-1. Obviously, I'm using it as a webcam, which I wouldn't buy it for that specifically because it's a very expensive webcam. But it's a camera that I think I just wanted to check out. It has a lot of pretty cool features. I want to use it as a secondary camera for our YouTube videos. I want to obviously use it with webcam. Because it's so small, like this thing is a really small camera. I can do this like above shots when I'm doing keyboard reviews. Like I can do a lot of different things that I wasn't able to do with this guy, which is the A6300 with the big old lens on it. And,
yeah.
You know, so it's just a secondary camera to play around with. So, but I do have it hooked up HDMI out, and I'm using one of those CamLink, Elgato CamLink
knockoff,
but it worked flawlessly. So basically, if you're not familiar with CamLink, basically it's a USB device that has HDMI port on it. And this is the one that I bought, which was, it's $29.99. Wasn't it a little bit cheaper the other day?
I got it a couple dollars cheaper when I ordered it, I think.
Yeah. But you just plug it in, plug your HDMI out from obviously this camera, into that. It shows up as a webcam. So you're just good to go. Obviously there's no lag because we tested it, as I'm talking, because my audio is not coming through the camera. It's coming through this mic right here. We don't have any, lag issues with my audio. And it works awesome. And it's $30 compared to the CamLink, which is $130. Awesome. A lot of people are speculating that some company found out how to do this, and they're just like...
Pumping them out.
Yeah, they're just putting them out there, and then they're just not going to exist after this. So I just decided to pick one up because I was like, whatever, I'm going to try it. Yeah. And it's $30.
I almost grabbed one when like I first heard about it, maybe a month, a little more ago. Epos Vox did a video on it and was kind of showing them off. And I almost ordered one of them. And actually, I ordered it and then canceled it because I was going to end up with a different camera. And then you ordered one. And I was like, okay, fine, I need to get one. Even if I'm not going to use it right now for $30-ish, who knows what I might use it on in the future. So. Yep, I'm excited to get mine, and I don't know, maybe use it on something.
Yeah, I mean, for $30,
hook up my Xbox, right? And if I wanted to stream an Xbox game or something, there you go.
Yeah, it's super simple, and it just worked flawlessly. I didn't have to install any software. I was actually really surprised at how easy it was to set up, and obviously that's what you're seeing here is this camera. So it works. So I'm pretty happy with that. I also non-tech related. If you guys haven't watched The Last Dance, did we talk about this last week?
The Bulls
video? Yeah.
I think you and I kind of chatted about it a little bit. But.
Yeah, so I've been watching the documentary, The Last Dance, which was on ESPN. I think I have two episodes left, but it's about the whole Bulls. And when I was growing up, like, Michael Jordan was like,
oh, yeah.
And like, you wanted the starter the Bulls starter jacket. And so just to kind of get the, all the behind the scenes of that, of those teams and all that kind of stuff all went on, and how like crazy dedicated Michael Jordan was to like winning and all that kind of stuff.
But you're not like a big basketball fan, right?
No, I'm not. I don't.
Right. So, and that's what I've heard is like, it's great even if you're not into sports or anything, because there's, it's just so entertaining. So no, I'd like to watch it, but there's a million other things I'd like to watch too. I just,
yeah. Well, it's like I said, I've been watching it slowly over the past couple of weeks. Because I think each episode is like an hour or something like that. And I think there's 10 maybe. So definitely I would definitely highly recommend that. So that is it, guys. I don't think there's anything else we're going to be talking about, is there?
No, I didn't have anything.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and end things here, guys. If you are looking for us on your favorite podcasting app or website, it's just Think Computers, all one word. We would definitely appreciate it if you did subscribe too, so you don't have to worry about finding the podcast each week. It obviously gets downloaded to your computer or your phone or whatever. So definitely subscribe if you would like to. And we will catch you, you know, next
week.
We'll
be on Twitch.
We'll be on Twitch before I end this thing.
Man,
I'm just failing. So I totally forgot. Maybe I don't want a game. I don't know. So we will be on Twitch right after this. We'll be playing Apex Legends like we always do. Hopefully Ryan gets some kills. He was playing last night.
It's not pretty.
He wasn't doing very well. We will be playing with our buddy Shinny, I believe. So we're on full team. And we'll be over there. And Ryan has some new stuff he's added to his stream. So definitely head over there right after this. We'll probably be on in about 10, 15 minutes. And as before, instead of saying it earlier, we'll catch everybody here next week.